I'm going to start out by saying I didn't carry my own cup of coffee here, but sometimes it gets me going. So are you ready for this? We do appreciate your prayers. It has been a hard week. It's been a rough week. Children have been sick. And I know as I get here this morning, I feel kind of scattered. I was like, not sure if all my thoughts are pulled together. So if there's a thought in there, you have to fill it in, because my thought's probably in the trash can in a snotty tissue rag somewhere. But I just want to say it's good to be here. And I want to say to each of the visitors, we're privileged to have you here. We're glad you're here with us. And may each of us today, as we look into God's Word, may we be encouraged and challenged again. And by His goodness to us. I'm going to read just a little bit this morning, first of all, in Luke 14. And this is where my mind has been the last several weeks. I knew this was my Sunday to preach. And, of course, this evening we're planning on the communion service here. So thinking towards the communion service, and my mind always just goes to where Jesus broke bread with His disciples. And Luke 14, verse 19, and I'm not coming up here at the right one the way it looks, but in Luke, I wrote the wrong reference down here somewhere, so, but it talks about remember, and it says, this do ye in remembrance of me, where Jesus broke the bread, and He broke and gave the cup, and He said, this do in remembrance of me, and that's where my mind has been the last couple of weeks. As I think about it, just remembering what Christ has done for us, and as I was thinking about remembrance, I looked up the word in the Greek, and it says, to call to mind or memory. So I asked myself the question, so what do I do in remembrance of somebody? What do I do to remember someone? All of us have lost a loved one. It's been several years since my mom passed away. And anyhow, so I decided to Google to see what Google said, the best, or you know, good ways or ways to remember. And there was different ones that said cook a favorite meal, travel to a place they love, or to remember the things that they were passionate about. So today, one way that we can remember Christ, He was passionate about people, serving people, and He told us to remember Him, most of all, was what He did by dying on the cross, and He told His disciples to remember Him in this way, by remembering what He has done. So this morning, I'm going to do a fair amount of reading. I'm going to start in Mark 14, verse 26, and I'm going to read several chapters. I'm going to read through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So Mark 14, verse 26. And I'm actually going to be reading out of the ESV, so it may be a little different, but at least for the young ones, for the children, it's a little easier than the King James Version. It's a little more understandable. So, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, You will fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you unto Galilee. Peter said to him, even though all fall away, I will not. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and he found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping? Take your rest, it is enough, the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going, see, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with a crowd, with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one that I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. And when he came, he went up to him and once said, Rabbi, and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them, Have you come out against as robbers with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scripture be fulfilled. And they all left and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. Yet even that testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, Have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his garment and said, What further witness do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death, and so began to spit on him and cover his face and strike him, saying to him, Prophesy. And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also are with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. He went out the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, This man is one of them. But he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, Certainly, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, You have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate asked him again, Have you no answer to make? So how many charges are they bringing against you? But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they ask. And among the rebels in prison, he had committed murder of the insurrection. There was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. He answered them, saying, Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he had perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have them release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, And what shall I do with the man you call king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Pilate said to them, Why? What evil has he done? But they all shouted all the more, Crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on, and led him away to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon the Cyrene, who was coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was about the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who could not destroy you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come down to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who standing facing him, saw in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There was also a woman looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, it was the day of preparation, that is the day before Sabbath. Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they may go and anoint him. And very early on the first day, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb and were saying one to another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man standing on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said, "Do not be alarmed. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized him. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I'm going to stop there. The rest is where Jesus appeared to them after that then. But as I was thinking about Jesus and what he did and the three steps of communion that we observe, the bread, the wine, or the cup, and then the washing of feet. So I was thinking about that. And I actually stopped at Walmart. It showed they had it in stock, and I was going to have a package for everybody. But you think of a grain or some grains of wheat. What has to happen to wheat in order for it to be made into bread? I mean, can you just throw it in the oven and bake it and it's bread, or it has to be crushed? That's right. It has to be crushed. It has to be ground. What else does it do? Mixed, okay. That is also true. Also, it loses its identity, has to be put to the fire. First of all, as we look at the grain of wheat, as it's crushed, as we look at Jesus, he was beaten. A crown of thorns was put on his head. He was forced to carry the cross. that he couldn't carry, and Simon carried it for him. He lost his identity. He came to earth, and when he was here, he was mocked. He was told, as he hung on the cross, "If you're the Son of God, come down." They didn't know who he was. Again, he was put to the fire as we looked at how he was beaten and how he was treated as he was beaten and what he was required to face. But he was willing to go through it for God's plan to be done. And then, if you look at bread, in order for it to be a benefit to anyone, it has to be consumed. He was willing to be consumed. As he hung on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then he died. His body was broken, swallowed in death, that you and I could live. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Remember this." The cup, signifying his blood, life flows through our veins. When you talk of life flowing through our veins, you think of blood. And if that blood is taken out, life is soon gone. Jesus' blood was spilt as he was beat, and then as he was hung on the cross. And this here account didn't talk about it, but as they took the spear and they pierced his side, and blood and water flowed forth, his life was given. Millions of sacrificial lambs have been slain for the sins of man, and now he was willing to give his life and his blood that we could be saved. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." Jesus did more than his friends. Jesus laid down his life for everyone. As he hung on that cross, to those that were mocking him, to those that were crucifying him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He could have killed 10,000 angels and come off the cross, but there was one thing that held him to the cross, and that was his love for you and I. And Jesus said, "Remember this." And then I was thinking, as we do the washing of feet, and you know, sometimes, and I know as I was younger, I was like, how does this fall into the whole communion? As we look, Jesus was a servant. Jesus came as a servant. In John 6:38, "For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but of him who sent me." And then in Luke 22:26-27, Jesus told his disciples, "Rather let the greatest among you become as youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." And we see as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he was their servant. Peter couldn't stand this. It was a servant's job to wash the guest's feet. But he was a servant, and he served. And if we look through Jesus' life, if you think through the miracles, I had a list of miracles, and I'm not going to go through them because I'm going to be out of time. But I had a whole list, like the whole list of his miracles that he did and who he reached out to through his life. And yes, his purpose was to come and to die on the cross for your and my sins. And yet the whole time he was here, he was a servant. He was serving others. As a servant of God, he had lots to do. As he went place to place, he healed all manner of diseases and so did good to the bodies of mankind. At the same time, preaching the gospel, thus doing good to the souls of man. But most of all, fulfilling the law and the greatest service ever, redemption and salvation to you and I. And then he called us to pattern after his example. John 15:12-13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, and someone lay down his life for his friends." 1 John 2:5-6. "By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the way which he walked." Each of us are called to serve. We have a gift God has given us. How often do we ask God to fill us with compassion and chance to serve those around us? not just friends, but those we come in contact as we go day to day. Do we get discouraged or rejected, or encounter rough roads as we're showing compassion, reaching out to the lost? John 15, verse 19 says, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." First John 3, verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so are we. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Sometimes, even as we go through life, and we talked a little bit about it in the Sunday school this morning, that just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that life is all easy. It's all handed easy to us. And as I was studying, I read this story about a father. It was a pastor who loved to hike. And I'm going to read it. There was a pastor who loved to hike. It was a love he wanted to pass on to his son. When his son was just a small boy, he planned what he thought to be an easy hike trail on the northern part of the Appalachian Trail. The journey would take them around the mountain to a beautiful lake in Vermont where they would spend the night. This dad made thorough preparation for the hiking, including coaching his son. Over and over he told his son, who desperately wanted to go, "The hike is going to be tough, and it's okay to be tired, but we have to keep walking. No matter what, we have to keep walking." Unfortunately for both of them, the hike was longer and tougher than expected, because instead of taking the trail that led around the mountain, they took the trail that led them over the mountain, and it was steep and broken. The boy repeatedly stumbled on the loose rocks, but kept on walking. The dad would occasionally remind the little guy about the lake and the fun they would have, and tell him to just keep walking. Fun was, however, not the word going through the boy's mind. He had fallen so many times, he ripped the knees in his blue jeans, but to his credit, he kept walking. Until one time he fell and struggled one too many times and sat down and started to cry. As the dad turned to check on the little guy, he heard his son say, "I know, Dad, it's okay to cry as long as I keep walking." We know how the boy felt. There are times in life when the road is steeper and more treacherous than we ever imagined. Being a Christian is not a ticket to an easy street that shields us from unfairness of life and suffering. The journey to faith and obedience can be grueling sometimes, but we are not called to quit, but keep walking. From time to time, we need to be reminded, why are we doing what we are doing? The reason who gives us any good thing in life. Our motivation to keep walking and not quit. May we be reminded again today as we celebrate what Jesus did by dying on the cross. The reason to keep walking and not quit. What he has gone through, he's not asking us to go through something that he has not already gone through himself. And he will give us a strength and courage to face whatever comes our way. All right. Curtis, do you have a...
331 in the faith and praise.
Okay. 331 in the faith and praise. If you'll stand. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you today again for your love. And God, we all go through hard times, but God, you're right there beside us, and you'll give us strength to keep walking. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for coming to take away our sins, for the love that you showed to us. And God, I pray that you would help us as we go from day to day to be that person of service to the ones that we come in contact with. To be an example, to follow your example and walk as you walk. God, I just pray that as we go through this week, that you would be with each one, the different areas, the different places they go. You would be with them, direct them, give them strength to stand and serve you. And we thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.